15 today, the first 13 verses. Have you ever want something? You ever wish for something? You just want it to come true? Or, you know, I really wish the Pacers would win the championship this year. I wish the Colts would
win the championship.
Something, that's right. Or you just things you really want to see, you know, Christmas. Boy, I really, really hope to get this, or this bicycle, or I really hope to get this. Or, you know, we kind of use wish and want and hope kind of interchangeably, but hope's a little different. Hope, various definitions in the dictionary, and old Merriam says, hope, one of the definitions is to cherish a desire with anticipation. That meets a lot of things there about Christmas and gifts and things. To cherish a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen or be true. See, my desire and anticipation. Somebody gave me a chocolate egg this morning, and I desire to eat this chocolate egg. So I'm going to anticipate after church it's going to taste really good. So I have. Cherish, and my hope is that that's going to be really good afterwards. So thank you, Eli. Another one is to expect with confidence. Expect with confidence, trust. The early ones, to cherish with a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen or be true, you know, that kind of hope doesn't mean it's necessarily going to come true. Doesn't mean you're necessarily going to get what you want. But there's a couple others that meet the definition better. Desire accompanied by expectation. Desire accompanied by expectation of or belief in fulfillment. You know, something we expect to happen. Something we believe is going to happen. I pretty much know that's going to taste good. I know that's going to taste good later. So I have total expectation of a belief in that. That egg is going to be good.
Hey, that's Tom, what. Is your mic on?
It doesn't sound like it.
Well, this is on. Let me raise it up a bit. That a little better?
That's better. Thank you.
I'll try to talk up a little bit. But, so that's what hope. Hope is more like that. Hope is an expectation. Hope is belief in it, fulfillment in it coming to pass. And Christians need to have that type of hope. We need to have that belief, that expectation. The other type of hope is someone or something on which hope is centered. We need to have our hope. We need to have that belief. We need to have that fulfillment, but our hope needs to be centered on somebody that's going to deliver that. It needs to be centered on God. It needs to be centered on Jesus, on Christ, and what he did. So we have to have that kind of hope. So I want to read Romans 15, the first 13 verses. It says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but, as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the people extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will have hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, again, your words, Lord, we know the Spirit's here. We just ask the Spirit be active and alive and working in each one of us this morning to proclaim your word today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So hope, and how do we get it? Well, it tells us it's supplied in the Bible. You know, scriptures were written by God. He gives us hope. You know, he wrote them all. And it seems like a lot lately in various forms of, you know, whether it's the internet or Facebook or whatever, is really questioning the scripture. The scripture is not just some men who wrote some books down and then some stories down and then put them all together and then even then left some of it out. You know, seems like a lot of that's coming out, that there's stuff in there that's missing, that's not there. You know, that's a lack of faith. You know, if you don't believe the Bible's complete and true, it's what God wants, there's a lack of faith there. And if you do believe the book is missing, well, that allows us to dismiss some scripture. You know, we can dismiss whatever we want. You know, if men wrote them, normal men, and they happened to put them together, and other men decided which ones got in there, which ones didn't, and they left some of the books out, then there's a problem. We can just pick and choose what we want. At least the ones we don't like, which a lot of people do now anyways. I don't like that one. We're not going to use that one. Just pick and choose which verses we want, which fits what we want it to say. Or we can make it out to read however we like if you just pick and choose. You don't take the context of the whole section of the Bible. You just pick one verse and say, well, this is what it means. May or may not be true, depending on what the author's talking about. So we've got to be careful about picking and choosing parts that we feel are just relevant. And how do we know it's true? How do we know the Bible's true? Well, I think two things. I think history, for one. You know, the prophecy in the Bible has been coming true. You know, it's talked about, and then it happens, and the Bible shows all that. You know, you get to excavations, you know, that talk about all these cities and all these places and things that were done, and they find them, and they're finding more all the time. I still think if they find Noah's Ark, then you better start looking up, because the time's short. But things are found, cities are found, that they're unearthing even now. And then there's just history records. You know, there's other records besides the Bible. There's all kinds of history records that Egypt and Rome and all of them put together and kept. And all they do is agree with the Bible. All these things happened. All these people existed. And just because somebody wrote, it has to be God ordained. It can't be some guy said, this needs to be in there, this doesn't. This needs, this doesn't. Because things that happened 400 years ago, 1,000 years ago, come to pass. They're all in here. It's all accurate. 2 Timothy says, chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is God-breathed. You know, a man may have wrote it, a man may have put it together, but God was the author. God put it together. He just used people to do it. He uses people to spread the gospel now. It's not any different. God put it together. I was at a church once. Went to Sunday school. Good, seemed like a good church. Went to Sunday school. First time there, got to talking about it. He was talking about a topic, thieves on the cross, and then it delved into, well, what happened here, and well, we know the old, that's the Old Testament, and that doesn't count anymore, and started talking about that. And you know, back then, my first day at Sunday school among strangers, I didn't say anything. I got sick of my stomach, but I didn't say anything. Today, I probably would. I might speak up a little bit, but back then, so, and, you know, that delved into a meeting with the pastor to discuss it, to, ended up a couple hour meetings to talk about we agree to disagree, which is okay. You know, he says, but you can come here and worship with us. He said, no, can't support that. Can't support that. It's all God's word. You can't dismiss some of it because of one belief you have. It all counts. Revelation 22, 18 and 19 says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described by the scroll. It's not going to change. God has in there what he wants. There's a phrase, hell to pay. I don't know if it came from this scripture or not, but it says, you know, anybody's, if you take away or you're already going to move it, there's going to be a payment, a big one. When you affect the word of God, you're in trouble. That's why I believe the Bible's true and accurate as God would have it. God says it, and I believe it. Kind of goes back to God says it, therefore I believe it. And it's really that simple. It's you believe it or not. I think you believe it all or not. You can't just believe bits and pieces or parts. You got to believe it all. As we said, hope comes from the Bible. It says scriptures in that section were written to teach us, to inform us of who God is, to reveal him to us in a personal way. See him in our lives, to give us understanding. That's what the scriptures are for. That's what gives us hope. It says hope gives us, helps us with patience and endurance. Or some translations do patient endurance. And we have examples in the Bible for that as well. They show us how to have patient endurance. There's a lot of people in the Bible who exemplified how to do that, facing the things they did, which are a lot of times the same things that we face. But they show us how to handle them. They show us how you can have it. They show us how you turn to God for it, for the help. But they were able to handle it, and they did it well. Then it says we have encouragement. Some use the word comfort from the Word and the Holy Spirit. And all of that's to give us hope. All of that's to give us hope. Psalms 47:5 says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. You know, if there's no God, there's no hope. It doesn't exist. There's nothing after this. This is it. Tom was saying this is the best non-Christians is going to get, and the worst Christians will get is right here. This is the best they can have. Do Christians get discouraged? Do Christians face despair? Do Christians give up? Sometimes. And then you could ask, but why? You know, the world gets us down. But we don't have to be in that condition. You know, a lot of it comes down, I still say, to choice. We have choices. We can let the world get us down, or we can remember. You know, we forget. And I see, things. If I do see things posted, I appreciate the one on Facebook, God's still on the throne today. And sometimes we forget that. But God's on the throne every single day. And I'm as guilty as anybody. I have to remind myself a lot of days, God's still on the throne. He's still in charge. But we don't have to be in despair and look at giving up, because God is in charge of everything. He knows us. He's been there. The hope we have is in the work of God, not in ourselves. The hope we have is with God's victory in our lives. That's what gives us the hope that we have. And if we try to do things in our own power, those generally don't work out so well. Don't work out so well. And we finally try and try till we get to the last resorts, which is prayer and actually giving it to God, because it's way bigger than we are at that point. We don't know how to handle it. We can't handle it. We tried it ourselves and it didn't work. But then we need to look at God's best in the outcome. You know, when we give it to Him, whatever the circumstance is, we give it to Him, we pray about it, we pray for His help, we need to look for His best in the outcome. That may not be our best, may not be the outcome we wanted, but we need to look for His best in the outcome. Because the whole point is for Him to receive glory, Him to be lifted up to others. You know, God helps us with the patient endurance and encouragement. As Paul likes to talk about, it's a marathon race. You know, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And there's going to be times where, you're going to be on top, you're chugging along just good. There's going to be times when aches and pains and the burning of the muscles, you're going to want to shut it down. It just happens, but in those times, God's there. We have to experience that, you know, just not being told that. You know, our experiences create who we are. In our experience, it's, you know, because it's, other times it's because it's not going to be in our time. It's going to be in God's time. We may say, God, why is it taking so long for you to return? Or why is the problems still exist? They're not going away. You know, we know God's time is different from ours. You know, a day's like 1,000 years, you know. Say, why aren't you returning? He said, what are you talking about? It's only been a couple days. His time is different than ours. And he's saying, let's build you up. Let's build you up in strength through this. Let's use this to form you into who you can be for me. That's what he uses those experiences for. And it goes on to say, God gives us those so we can give them to others, like Jesus did. He gives us patient endurance. He gives us encouragement. He gives us the teaching. He gives us the understanding. It's not just for us. He says specifically to give it to others, like Jesus gave it. Now we have, how's our patience with others versus our patience from others? Do we give what we get? You know, people have patience for us, but do they get patience from us? Patience is a hard one. Patience is a difficult one. You know, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So are you going to give as much patience as you want to get? You know, God will teach us patience, especially if you ask for it. And a lot of times through people. And as I've told you, my challenge is in the car. I have a terrible challenge in the car to learn patience and things. So, and you may have heard this story before, but there's this old fellow going through the drive-thru. He's by himself, but he's going through a drive-thru. I don't know if it's McDonald's or what it was, but he was going through the drive-thru, and he was going a little bit slow, and there's a young lady behind him that wasn't very happy with how fast he was going, but he was going through, and anyways, he got up, and apparently he was taking too long to order. She was making hand signals and horn honking and stuff, and he'd get going, and he said, I saw her doing it, so he said, you know, I thought, you know, then he went on, you know, she pulled up, ordered her stuff, went up to the pay window first, and he said, I paid for mine. By that time, she's up behind him, you know, right at him, and still fussing, he wasn't moving fast enough, and he said, you know, I told the guy at the counter, said, I'm going to pay for theirs too. I'll pay for that order behind me. So he took that time, you know, which took a little more time, so now she's really impatient, really wanting to get up there. So they said, I paid for both mine and I paid for hers. I said, of course, she's still about to push him through the drive-through, but then he goes up, gets the food, and he said, he got my food. And he said, by the way, I paid for that order behind me. He says, I'll take that one too. So he got two orders. Of course, by that time, the lady had learned he had paid for their food. So she was much nicer in the background this time. But he pulled away, and of course she pulled up and realized she wasn't getting any food. So she was going to have to get back in line if she wanted food. So don't mess with old guys. God will teach us patience. So I'm hoping she learned a little bit of patience that day. So it doesn't do us well to not have it. And it says, why does God give us these attributes? These attributes he's talking about. You know, the encouragement and the patience and the hope that we have. And he pretty plainly says, so together with one mind and one voice, we can glorify God. You know, we're to accept each other, one another as Christ except you. You know, we come together not because this is our happy place, although it may be a happy place to be. We don't come together because we're perfect. None of us are. If you think you are, that's your first imperfect thought you had. Because you're not, I'm not. We're not perfect. But we come together and we accept each other in our imperfections and in our flaws. I said love covers a multitude of sins, but love also covers the flaws and the imperfections that we see in others. Love's greater than our differences. Love unifies us. Jesus unifies us. That's what we're supposed to. We're supposed to share those with others. We're supposed to have those with others. You know, back at this time, he's talking, you know, it was a divided world then, just like it is now. It was a divided world. They were nationalistic. You know, they had Romans and Greeks and all kinds of nationalities there. They had all kinds of races. Again, Romans, Greeks, there were Jews, Arabs from all parts. Cities fought each other until one became victorious and took over the others. You had Carthage and Rome and Athens, and they were all jealous of each other. And they fought until they became under control. But the biggest division was probably Jews and Gentiles. One God versus many. That was the biggest division. And that's why a lot of this is talking about Jesus for everybody. You know, he's for Jews, he's for Gentiles, he's for all people. Gives us all hope. And the church is to be the example. So, we don't want to be the ones to mess it up. We're the example to others for God. You know, it says he came to be a servant. It didn't say Jesus came to be a servant. At least my Bible says Christ came to be a servant. You know, if it said Jesus came to be a servant, a lot of people were to just understand, well, he's a Jewish person, he come to be a servant, that's a lot to do that. But he used the term Christ. Christ came to be a servant. He came for all people, and he fulfilled all God's promises. He's the Savior of the world and all the people who come to him. He is our hope. So, we're going to have an invitation in just a minute as we close. A couple more verses to read. Romans 12:12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." So our hope, something to be joyful in, something to know. Be patient. Be patient, even in affliction, and be faithful in prayer. Turn to him. Romans 5:1-5 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance." Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. We put our hope, our desire accompanied by expectation, our desire accompanied by belief and fulfillment in Christ. We put it in someone or something of which hopes are centered. That's also in Christ. God is our source of hope. All things, joy, peace. God is our object of hope. It's in him, not in things, not in ourselves. But trust, faith, believe what he says. Be like him. Everything is possible by the power of the Holy Spirit if we allow him to move in us. And then we follow his lead. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the hope we have. The hope we have knowing the end. Knowing what's ahead of us, Father. Knowing we will be with you. Knowing we will have a body like you. Knowing that you're in charge. Knowing that we will be with you forever, for eternity. And Lord, our hope is in you because of what you did. Because of dying on the cross for us, you've given us that hope. Lord, help us through our life to have that patient endurance. We thank you for the encouragement and the comfort you give us through them, Lord. And we pray mostly that we can be that way to others. That our example to others, because you are the example to us. Help us to be strong in that, Lord. Just guide us, direct us. Let the Holy Spirit just use as much power as we will give him. And I pray that's a lot. Lord, we just praise you. We give you thanks. We just praise you for the hope we have in you. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.